A good morning indeed. I had to... Okay.
Oh, did you have trouble putting your sock on or whatever the people
call it?
What is this called?
Oh.
What's it called?
It's a mic sock, a wind sock, a spit screen. I've heard it called a lot of different things.
Odie calls it a spoffle, and I just don't. It doesn't sound right.
Don't like that. Yeah. Don't like that at all.
Yeah.
I gotta keep it a buck. Feel good this morning. Woke up on time. All right. Had a good morning. Nice and football-y outside. Weather's great. Got up. Got ready for work. On the drive in. Decided to do something that I don't ordinarily do. Ordinarily, I will stop at a gas station or whatever on the way in, and I will get my beverages for the day. I bring one in that I utilize for the show, one or two for the show, and then I'll put one or two in the storage device of question.
The what?
The box in there that we hold our drinks in during the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that.
The box.
Well, you made it sound like it was in your car.
No.
I didn't know if that vehicle came with a refrigerator standard.
We're not supposed to say we have a mini fridge in the office, so I wasn't going to do that.
I don't think it matters anymore.
I don't think it does either. I've been here 5 years. Nobody said a damn thing.
Well, it was said to me quite a bit in the beginning.
Well, you took all the heat. I get the benefits.
I did, and now everyone's got one. So,
I grabbed a beverage like I normally do, but what I did today that was different than normal is I opened it in the car on the drive-in. I don't normally do that. And there's a reason why. And that reason why is because people are already questionable enough drivers when you're unfortunate enough to come across one of them at 5:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning.
Cut them some slack. Because a lot of people still don't have power.
I know, and I'm not, let's be clear, I'm not going to go off on the individual that caused the scenario this morning, because I get it. It's a very stressful time around upstate South Carolina right now. So I am, genuinely, I'm cutting people slack. Unless you're doing something that's actively hurting somebody, if you're jumping curbs to get out in front of the line at the gas station, which I think has mostly died off at this point, if you're doing stuff like that, I'm going to call you out. But I'm at a spot now where I'm like, you know what? Some people are just having stressful days. So anyway, point is, driving on the road today, I got cut off. And not like a little cut off. I got cut off like, had I been the guy who, when you cut me off, I'm going to accelerate and stay on your bumper until I get to where I'm going or you get to where you're going and get out of the way. Had I been that guy, had I been road ragey at all this morning, I would have like Dukes of Hazzard fishtail dumped this dude into the side of the interstate. All right. Guy got off the exit, jumped over two lanes to get to the middle lane, trying to go all the way to the other side because he had, you know, get on one exit, get off on the next. He jumped in front of me, and it was unexpected, no blinker, no nothing. And when he did that, I happened to be taking a sip of the beverage that I opened, which, again, I don't normally do. And when he did, I pumped the brakes. Well, when I pumped the brakes, it happened to be right at the time that I was trying to take a sip from the beverage that he cut in front of me, and I poured about a third of an energy drink right down the front of the T-shirt that I wore to work. And that energy drink was cold and not the same color as the T-shirt I was wearing. So when I got here, I thought to myself, hey, you know what? We're good. Because when we got back from the wedding, I've got some clothes left over in my car. Because what happened was the last night of the wedding, the wedding vacation, the last night.
Also known as the honeymoon.
Yeah, it wasn't, though, thanks to the hurricane. It was just the last night of the wedding stay. The honeymoon was going to be in Orlando and Savannah. We didn't get to do either. So on the last night, the idiot that I am, I packed everything the night before to have it ready to just throw in the car the next morning. except for the clothes I was going to wear the next day and the PJs I went to bed in that night, which, of course, included this wonderful Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Bel-Air Academy basketball jersey, all right? So when I got here, I was like, oh, I got clothes in the back of the car. I'm good. I'll just change shirts. I wore flippy floppies today, so it doesn't matter that I don't have shoes that I have to match to the shirt, all right? I've got three hats in the car, a white one, a gray one, a black one. I don't know what's back there, but whatever. I can pull an outfit together so I don't have to wear a soaking wet, monster-smelled shirt for the whole day. All I have was a Bel-Air Academy basketball jersey. And so for the first time in the history of the Rob Brown Show on the stream, I'm going Tank Top Thursday today. I'm going sleeveless today. I'm going gun show today. Yeah, going gun show today. And I got to tell you, I'm wildly uncomfortable right now.
Well, as you well
know, I'm very comfortable in terms of the shirt. The shirt breathes wonderfully. But in terms of my... I haven't been in the gym in a while, is all I'm saying.
Well, it stood out to me right away when I saw it.
That's the first thing Zoe said when he walked in the Fortress of Nerditude. He looked at me and he went...
No, I did not.
He looked at me and he went...
I do not use that word.
He looked at me and he went...
That I did. Yeah, for sure. I said gun show, and Rob looked confused for a second because he forgot, and then he realized, oh, yeah. And then he went Hulk Hogan on me for a while.
Brother.
He was blocking the door. I couldn't get out.
Brother.
So I had to wait for the whole show. And then finally it was over.
So that you're very clear, we're very clear. I don't feel good about it. All right? Like nobody, for the record, I am aware, nobody wants to see this.
All right. We need some liquid tan here stat. If we get that, then you'll be good.
I put on the tank top today. And now, like, it's not like I feel like I gotta sit here flexing at the camera all day.
Is that what that was?
I know if there's one way to describe my physique right now, it's... So it just kind of is what it is now. I just have to own it. I'm very bummed.
We could go off the stream. I mean, we can go old school radio.
No, this is on me. This is a learning experience from Rob Brown. All right. I'm sure that most of, if not all of you, have had some situation where you headed into work and maybe you realize you got dressed in the dark and you had two different shoes on, or you realize that you were wearing a black set of pants, but you put on a brown belt. Embarrassing.
Well, right now I'm wearing blue shorts and a black shirt.
You are not really matched at all.
It's just really bothering me.
But nobody can see your shoes, so at least you can hide it. I am just
I got
here.
Black shoes, so I mean, you know, I'm the black on black with the blue in the middle, but still.
I know,
but I'm also over 50, so I can get away with that because people will think, oh, that transition.
Oh, great. Grandpa's just having one of those days.
Yeah, but it's bothering me. I mean, it is, and you know. I'll get over it, but still, I'm curious. Do we have a guest today?
We do have a guest today. I am very sad to report.
Okay,
that
okay, all right.
Hating ass Mario will be here coming up at 9 o'clock.
So no Rashad today.
We'll have Rashad at 8:40.
Okay, that's
I will take every bit of that the young man with engaged is going to bring at me. I have no doubt, because I've given Mario hell for years about his dressing like a child at work, and now here I am in a basketball jersey. Now, I will say the saving grace here is that at least we're on a sports talk show.
It's cool. So right? Dressing like a child, what's that mean? I mean, when have you dressed like an adult?
Dude, showing up to work with a collar and sleeves, showing up to work in a basketball jersey is dressing like a child.
Excuse
it's just
me.
That we happen
What's
to be.
When's the last time you wore a collar?
I wear collars all the time. I wear polos all the time. All the time. I wear them here. It's almost, you know what I said when I walked out the door this morning and I almost went and changed? It's about near flannel season. It's about near my favorite time of the year when I get to wear flannel every day.
By the way, we have no dress code per se, and wear what you want to wear.
Right, because
don't let people like Rob judge you.
No. Do not listen to Lonzo. If you work in a bank or an insurance company, do not show up in a basketball jersey or you won't work there anymore. Because while I am absolutely team, I'm growing older but not up, as Jimmy Buffett once famously said, at the same time, there are, you don't have to like it, but there are societal standards. When you work in a place that is an adult place, you wear sleeves and a collar.
Okay, when you're done, I said we don't have a dress code,
right,
which implied if you don't have a dress code, wear what you want.
Well, I thought you were talking to the populace.
No, if you have a dress code, then wear what you're required to wear. If you have to wear a uniform, wear a uniform. I mean, but what I'm saying is don't judge me because I wear a jersey. Well, do judge me, but I could care less what you think about it.
I'm just saying.
And anytime you do now, we will screen cap what you're wearing and bring it up, and then you can just go away as far as that goes.
I dropped an energy drink. Half of a barrel, by the way. Not like a half
here's
of the
what,
half
what
of
I
the
wish.
Barrel straight
I,
down the front
I
of the shirt.
I wish you didn't have a shirt back there. I wish you had to go straight up skins for the whole show.
So ordinarily, there is always tucked away under the seat, the back seat behind the driver. Ordinarily, there is, and this is just a Rob Brown way of life.
You're married now. There shouldn't be anything back there.
There is.
Okay.
Ordinarily, there is almost always and exclusively a pair of golf pants and a polo shirt back there.
Oh, okay. So it's not like a Bill Belichick walk of shame.
Correct.
Clothing.
No, I don't have a bug out bag back there. All right.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah. You used to have a bug out bag you would keep in the car. And that was the, you know, somebody takes you home from the bar and you got to be somewhere the next day, right? Nope. I'm 40. I'm almost 40. I have in the back of my car, ordinarily, though I don't now because I took it out for the vacation and the honeymoon. Ordinarily, in the back seat of the car, underneath the rear view seat behind the driver, there's ordinarily a golf polo, golf pants, and my golf shoes, which stay in the box in the car. And that's because you never know. You never know. Maybe I got a meeting, and I get a text that says, hey, Rob, client had to cancel, no meeting today. Well, I'm already out of the office. Let's go get 9 holes in this afternoon, right? You never know when you're going to need to throw on a collared shirt and a pair of pants to go play 18 or a situation exactly like this one. So I ordinarily have a pair like a nice polo that I can throw on if I need it. Didn't today. And so all of you have to suffer through, those of you that visit the stream, Rob Brown with the twigs out. So, that being said,
I could have let you borrow a jacket, you know, if you want to hide.
No, I'm just owning it at this point.
The jacket smells like me, though. So, I mean,
Now I'd rather go shirtless. All right. The good news is here. And I can say this. Here's the good news. The good news is that happened at gas station number one. But because I spilled one of the two energy drinks that I need because I'm an addict with a problem, I stopped at gas station.
We all know that, right?
Yeah, I know. It's not a secret. I stopped at gas station number two. And I stopped at number two to get a replacement for the show. And
did you change your walk? Did you say, sup, when you walked in?
No.
Okay.
I got to gas station number two. I got out of the car. I changed out of the shirt. I went digging around the back of the car. All I had was the jersey. However, it's a dope jersey. And I know it's a dope jersey because I put on the jersey, went into the gas station, I think is like shock therapy. I'm like, let me just get my first interaction with somebody out of the day with me and less overweight than I used to be. All right. But I'm not basketball jersey thin yet. All right. I'm going to be doing push-ups in the hallway every break. I threw
probably
it on.
Probably should be sit-ups, but you know.
Screw you, Lonzo. Screw you, Lonzo. I decided, let me go get the shock therapy out of the way. I walked into the gas station, and as I did, this young kid, and I say young, probably early 20s or so, he walks past me, he turns around, he walks back to me, and he goes, dope jersey, bro. And I was like, yeah, we're back, baby. Now we're good. And I just want to say, I'm sure this young man's not listening right now. I hope he is. I don't know what he was doing in a gas station at roughly 5 o'clock in the morning. Because I had to stop and change. You know, I was about 10 minutes behind where I wanted to be. I don't know what he was doing in the gas station at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I need that young man to know. If he happens to be listening, just in case, I'm putting it out there. Thank you, big dog. Thank you. Because had you not said that, I would have stopped at 3 to 5 more gas stations looking for one that was selling t-shirts and plastic bags to buy to bring here. You'd have seen me in some oversized 4XL gas station plain black t-shirt. But that man looked me in the face and said, "Dope jersey, bro." And I went, "You know what? Bleep it. I'm rolling with it. At least it is a dope jersey." The Bel Air Academy 93 special. This is fantastic. With the Smith 14 on the back. It's untouchable, man. It's untouchable.
You got some dealer vibes going, though. I mean, you know, this is the guy who shows up in the neighborhood dressed like that going, "Hey, man, I got something for you."
I'm just real bummed out because I'm not going to lie. Right before the show, I was like, you know what? I think since I'm already wearing a jersey, I think I'm just going to go full Delta Bravo and put the blenders on. Do the whole show in the blenders. Went out of the car. I took them out. I know exactly where they are. They're hanging on a hook right by the inside door of the Bro Cave. I took them out because I wore my contacts the other day.
You have hooks for all your glasses? I guess that makes sense. I guess it does.
I got four because I got four pairs of glasses.
Since you accentuate your outfit every day.
I got the blenders. I got the Wayfarers, and then I got two pair of Italians that I bought for the wedding. One's black and one's brown with gold trim, all right? I got four hooks for four pairs of sunglasses, and I forgot to grab the black because I didn't wear my contacts. I only wear the sunglasses when I wear contacts. I put on the glasses today. So I forgot to, I didn't put in the contacts, therefore I didn't bring the blenders.
Yeah, but you got the clear glasses on. That works.
I do. But these aren't, I hope, these aren't D-bag glasses.
You got a Kurt.
All right, you're done. I don't even care what you're about to say because it's going to be mean.
With the colors and the glasses, you got a Rambus vibe going on. Bring it. It's you look like Rambus. It's the colors.
There's worse you could tell me I look like. All right, we got a day lined up for you today. We got to get a ton into the NFL. We've got some more developments in the Davante Adams situation and Christian McCaffrey. Maybe the Panthers trade of McCaffrey wasn't as bad as we thought it was. We'll talk about that coming up later on in the radio program. 8 o'clock hour is going to be slammed up. At 8 a.m., we've got Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News to talk Gamecock football. At 8:20, Abe Gordon of 92.9 The Game in Atlanta will be joining us as the Braves season has come to its conclusion. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. At 8:40, the legendary Rashad Beard will join the show to talk Carolina Panther football. Then at 9 o'clock, straight up, Hayden Asmario will join us to talk about the NFL as well. Four guests back, two back, two back, two back. So if you want in, the earlier the better.
I don't know if you knew this. It's also Thursday.
9:20. Fight Club. Felt real good. Felt real good to get that one out. 9:20 Fight Club. So we got in a row, Lulu Kesson, South Carolina, Abe Gordon, Atlanta Braves, Rashad Beard, Carolina Panthers, Hayton Ass Mario, NFL Talk, Great One Lonzo, MMA and professional wrestling. Are we picking anything today? Because I'm not going to lie, I'm 2.5 weeks behind.
Yeah, bad blood happens this
weekend. Son of a biscuit. If you're ever going to get me,
I could have threw some MMA in there too, but I didn't.
No.
Just going, we only have so much time.
Let's pick them. We're going for the wall? This for the wall?
Yeah, probably.
All right. If you're ever going to get me,
actually, it's not for the wall. I can't do it because it happens during the show Saturday. So what?
Just get the results later. All right, that's fine by me. I haven't watched wrestling in 2.5 weeks, so that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, stick around. Show's going to roll on after this. The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate. The Atlanta Braves season comes to its conclusion last night, swept out of the Major League Baseball wildcard round by the San Diego Padres, just like I said they would be. You don't have to like it, unfortunately. There was a combination of things that took place. This was the perfect storm for the Atlanta Braves this year. Number one, injuries wrecked this season. We're going to talk about this with Abe Gordon of 92.9 The Game in Atlanta coming up this morning at 8:20 a.m. Injuries wrecked this team this year. You lost Spencer Strider. It threw your entire pitching staff into chaos. You lost Ronald Acuna Jr. for the season. You had long stretches without Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies. The list goes on and on and on. In fact, I've made the joke that's not a joke a number of times that the only two guys that you did not lose for long stretches of time were Matt Olson, who had his worst year from the dish in the last four or five, and Marcelo Zuna, who was the definition of hit or miss, right? This guy would go on home run stretches where he'd have one every third at bat for five or six or seven games, and then he'd do what he did in the playoffs this year and just not show up at all. I think he had, one hit between the two games in the wild card round? The Atlanta Braves had six hits last night. That's number two. The offense was, and you can blame it on the injuries, you can blame it on the rain that was falling, you can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on. The bats just went cold. There were hot streaks for sure. The problem is last year when the Braves went on a streak, it was a cold streak and then they'd come back to normal. This year when they went on a streak, it was a hot streak and then they'd go back to normal. And normal was a 4-5-6 hit game more often than not. And that's what they brought into the wild card round. You add on to that, the Braves kicked themselves in the junk. The Braves and the Mets were supposed to finish that doubleheader that they had to play on Monday. They were supposed to play those two games last week. But because of, they say, approaching Hurricane Helene, I say that series could have been finished. They could have woken up the next day after game one, a game the Braves won. They could have woken up and played a doubleheader that started in the morning. They could have had that stadium cleared by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they could have sent everybody on their merry way. That's not what the Braves wanted to do. And the Braves didn't want to do that, in my, I'll say, opinion, because again, I don't know that you're ever going to get to be able to prove it. But in my opinion, they did that because they did not want to lose the gate from that game. Not only would you have had fewer people coming out for a 10 a.m. game on a weekday than you would have had having two back-to-back night games on weekdays, but if you made it a doubleheader, you would have had to made it a quick doubleheader, not a daytime-nighttime doubleheader. It had to have been daytime-daytime doubleheader. It had to have been a single-gate doubleheader, which means that you would have gotten a weekday crowd and only one of them for two games instead of what they hoped they were going to be able to do and stick a couple of late games on down the stretch that they could have grabbed the gate from. I never understood that. I didn't get it. Here we are. So the Braves had to play a pair of games on Monday. They had to burn up their pitching on Monday. They also lost Chris Sale. I don't know how much different the game would have been had Sale been available, right? Because Sale would have likely pitched game two of that doubleheader, means he would have been unavailable for games one and two of the wild card series. You would have probably still been in the exact same spot. You would have gone Smith-Shawver in game one. That went poorly. It didn't go poorly. He was fine. Wasn't great. He was fine. Wasn't going deep into the game. And you would have still gone Max Fried in game two. Max Fried got tagged up last night. There's no other way around it. If you ask what went wrong in an individual game last night, the answer is Max Fried gave up eight hits and five runs in two innings. That's very un-Max Fried-like. But that's what happened. So because of all of that, the injuries, the Braves screwed the Braves with the doubleheader being moved, with Max Fried getting rocked in game two, and because of that doubleheader, having to go Smith-Shawver instead of having somebody like Lopez available in game one, the Braves got kind of screwed. Now, the question mark that I have is, how do we feel about Snit? This is a cat that I was calling for a lot this season. And I'm kind of confused about how I'm conflicted about how I should feel about Snit right now. Because on one hand, there's all the flowers that Brian Snicker has been getting this year. Brian Snicker managed through a year where the injuries were relentless. The Braves were a mash unit this year. He managed through that. He got this team to the playoffs. He managed through the, I'm going to say, absolutely poor front office decision making that ended up with that doubleheader on Monday that made the wild card round that much more difficult to survive through. Yet he managed through that. Brian Snicker found a way to get this team into the playoffs despite losing Ronnie and Strider, despite having months. If I had to take a stab at the percentage of games where the Braves had their full opening day lineup, with the exception of Ronnie Acuña Jr., I would say it was probably 20% of the games this season did the Braves have everybody available. And yet, Snicker got this team into the postseason. So does he get flowers for that? And oh, by the way, he did it in a year where the Philadelphia Phillies, who ended up winning the division, were the number two team in the National League, and it took the Dodgers a sprint down the stretch to get by them and claim the one seed in the NL. If this was any other Philadelphia year, if this was any other year where the Phillies did what the Phillies have been doing the last couple of years and they won themselves 85, 86, 87 games, there's a chance the Braves still could have won the division with 89 wins in the back. I mean, it realistically, if the Braves had this year and the Phillies had a year like they normally do, the Braves would have been in contention for the division. It's just that the Phillies dramatically outkicked their coverage this year. And if they outkicked their coverage this year and the Braves had these injuries and all these other issues, do we let Snit off the hook a little bit? I'm very conflicted about how to feel. And a part of the reason is what I said so many times during the regular season. I felt as if Snit, either game by game, didn't manage enough or overmanaged. And it just depends on kind of where you were, right? He either overmanaged or he didn't manage enough. And I pointed out throughout the year, one of the running gags I had this year that I used on this show, I used it on BetMGM Tonight, I used it on every show I've guest hosted, every show I've been interviewed on. I can't tell you how many times they turned the camera over towards the dugout, and it looked to me like Snit was taking a damn nap, like in high-pressure situations. And then there were times where the pitching would get squirrely, and all of a sudden he's keeping guys in, yanking guys out, moving guys around, and I'm like, what are we doing here? On the flip side, Snit got this team, a team that was like owned half of a hospital wing throughout the year. He got him in. So I'm a little conflicted on how to feel overall about Brian Snicker this year. But we're gonna talk more about Atlanta. We're gonna issue the post-mortem throughout the show. Abe Gordon joins us at 8:20 this morning to talk about it with us. Lulu Kesson at 8 o'clock to talk Gamecocks. Rashad Beard at 8:40 to talk Panthers. 9 o'clock, Hayton asked Mario to talk NFL. 9:20 Fight Club. You want in? Do it now. 844-326-3663. Text us, 71307. Start your text with FAM. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. So I'm going to ask this question of Gamecock fans this morning. Does this Ole Miss game, even if it's only for this year, is this game rivalry-ish to you? Does this game have rivalry vibes if it's just this year? You've got, obviously, the drama that happened with Antoine Juice Wells last year. There are those of you that believe that Juice Wells could have returned for the Gamecocks down the stretch, but elected not to and blamed it on an injury. There are those of you that believe that Juice Wells took advantage of you because while he was not playing last year, he was still coming around, collecting that NIL check, utilizing the facilities, etc. And there are many of you that believe that Antoine Juice Wells had already made the decision that he was out, but he was going to enjoy all of the creature comforts that the University of South Carolina was willing to provide to and for him, as well as that NIL check, until he signed the dotted line with the new team. And then there was this story that caught a lot of traction. I know one of my afternoon colleagues, the D-Train Diesel, was heated for a minute because Juice Wells put up a social media video, if I recall the story correctly. Juice Wells put up a social media video of him getting a haircut in the facilities. Most of the facilities now have like an on-site barbershop just for the players. Put up a video of him getting a haircut in the facilities after he had already declared his intention to transfer. And there were people going, dude, this is screwed up, right? Like the minute you say I'm out, that key card should not work anymore. You should get bounced immediately. And here's Juice up in Club Gamecock, enjoying all of the facilities and benefits that come along with being a South Carolina player, despite the fact that he had stated his intention to not do that anymore. And then he ends up at Ole Miss, where Lane Kiffin has declared himself the Portal King, where Lane Kiffin has declared that he is going to take the 2023 Florida State approach of building a roster through the portal, and where NIL deals seem to be handed out with some level of regularity. The reason I ask is I was scrolling the social media last night, and I came across a video from SEC Unfiltered's Chris Phillips. Of course, Chris joins Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson once a week in the afternoons. And Chris Phillips, about South Carolina Ole Miss, said this. We good with that take? We good with that take? I said yesterday on the show, I said yesterday on this show, and I said Tuesday evening on BetMGM Tonight, because we got into a conversation. Brad Evans asked me which college football team with odds of 300-1 or longer do you think is the best possibility to get into the college football playoffs? And my answer was LSU. And my justification for selecting LSU was they got two games left on the schedule. Alabama, Texas A&M. I think they're better than Texas A&M. And I think nobody's better than Alabama with the exception of Ohio State, Georgia, and man, I don't even think I can put Oregon in that group anymore, right? So my justification was LSU's got one more loss. They're going to be a 10-2 football club, and their two losses are both going to be the top 10 teams at the end of the year, USC and Alabama. And he said, wait a minute, Rob, they went toe-to-toe was South Carolina like 2 weekends ago. And I said, oh, I know, but I think you and the rest of America are going to be learning something in the next couple of weeks. I think South Carolina is underappreciated as one of the most difficult places to play college football in all of America. I do not think, I've been to three games so far in Columbia. I wish it was more, but I've been to three games so far in Columbia. I am willing to go on the record nationally and say, this is not blowing smoke. I have no reason to. I think Columbia, South Carolina is quietly one of the best home field advantages in football. When the fans turn out. I think when the team is good, it's one of the best, most underappreciated home field advantages in all of college football. And I also think that the one thing that probably keeps South Carolina from being on those annual lists that come out every year, top 10 toughest places to play in college football. I think the one thing that keeps Columbia from being on that list more often than they are is the fact that it does. And again, I don't mean to, this is where I can say I'm not blowing smoke. It feels to me like Columbia turns out when there's some juice in the game. Like the regular games are regular games, and the crowd's good, but it's regular games. But when there's anything, when there's any sort of extra juice to the game, when it's a rivalry game, when there's a chance at a big-time upset, or when there's somebody you just don't like coming to the house, whether it's Mark Stoops or Juice Wells, you guys turn out. When there's a little bit of vindictiveness at play, I think Columbia, I think Willie B becomes one of those underappreciated home field advantages. My question is, do you think it is going to be that this Saturday for Juice Wells? Do you think it's going to be that way this Saturday for Ole Miss? And I'm going to tell you, I hope the answer is yes. I hope the answer is yes for all of the reasons that I said, I hope you guys have that place absolutely swaying when LSU comes to town, when College Game Day comes to town, because this is an opportunity for you to take what I have experienced at Willie B, and that is, this is one of the most underappreciated home field advantages in college football, and to put that reality on the national radar, to put the country on notice that LSU goes hard on Saturdays. You're not going to have the same amount of cameras pointed at you on Saturday when Ole Miss shows up. It is not. It's especially with Ole Miss having dropped to Kentucky. If Ole Miss was undefeated, was still a top five team, then after you thrash Kentucky, I think that storyline is there. And I think within the Southeastern Conference, that storyline is still there. This is, will Lane and the gang rebound, or is South Carolina for real? And I said this yesterday on the show. Clemson and South Carolina both have a huge opportunity to tell a story about their programs this Saturday. Clemson, if they go down to Tallahassee, Florida and do what they better do and beat Florida State by 35, Clemson is going to be able to put it on the record that, hey, we ain't going nowhere. South Carolina also has an opportunity to tell a story about their program this weekend. And that story is that Kentucky win, that LSU ball game, those weren't flukes. Those are for real. That's who we are now. That's who we are. You can expect more of that. This is not a flash in a pan. This is not a couple of games where we got a decent result. This is who we are. We should scare you. We are going to start getting those upsets consistently. We are going to start threatening everybody, and you do it with Ole Miss up front. So if it takes being mad at Juice Wells, if it takes wanting to embarrass Lane Kiffin, no matter what it takes, find whatever juice you need to find to make, sorry for using that word, find whatever electricity you need to find to make Willie B a football mecca on Saturday for this game against Ole Miss, because you South Carolina fans, you can tell a story. You can up some respect. You can start getting that street cred you've been looking for, A. And B, you can put the rest of the conference and the rest of the country on notice that this is not unusual anymore. This is who the hell we are.
There's also a concern with games of emotion. This is going to come down to coaches keeping it under control to a degree, because you can be overly emotional and start making stupid mistakes and do things that cost you the game. I've seen it happen both ways, where emotion fuels you, where you're so upset about someone leaving a team and going to another team, or a coach leaving and doing that sort of thing, and it fuels you to a victory. But it can also be detrimental because you get overly juiced and you start doing stupid things.
I agree entirely. One of the things that I would talk about, maybe even be concerned about, is, are there guys on this roster that were here last year, great one, that maybe they hold a little animosity for Juice Wells? Maybe they feel like it's their responsibility to go teach him a lesson this weekend. They feel like it's their responsibility to go, all right, you turncoat. All right, you traitor. All right, you Benedict Arnold. We got a little something-something for you to show you exactly what it was you left behind. You could have been a part of this, and instead you went over there, and now we're going to make you pay for that. But as you pointed out, and I think correctly so, with that comes the risk that that emotion gets a little over the top. The scariest thing for a coach is that your team gets too emotional, gets too invested. It cares too much to the point that discipline breaks down in the face of excitement, in the face of emotion. You want to go hit that guy so hard that that becomes the only thought between the ears, and that's not your job.
Well, I've experienced this in high school. We had an assistant coach leave our team and just totally trash our team. The head coach got off the bus. The assistant coaches got back on the bus and said, I don't care if you win the game, I just want you to hurt them, because they hurt him, talking about the head coach. And coaching comes into play. It was the wrong thing to do. And I was just as amped as everybody else and offended and hurt. But kids really got hurt that day. And so it's you got to control that rage to a degree, and that's up to coaching.
I agree. And again, like, was it the wrong thing to do? Playing extra physical, having a little gas in the tank? No, not necessarily. The wrong thing to do is if you are willing to sacrifice the W to prove a point, because I promise you, nobody, if you go out there and you bag and tag Juice Wells, and he has the most physical game and he gets the hell knocked out of him and he is hurting when he gets on the bus. If he's hurting, but they win that football game 24-10, they're not going to come back in 10 years from now and go out there. Shane can't go recruit on, hey, yeah, we lost to Ole Miss at home, but we hit Juice Wells real hard. Like, and, right? You know what you can recruit on? Hey, Kentucky went toe-to-toe with Georgia and beat Ole Miss. We beat them 31-6, and then we turned around and beat Ole Miss, too. We did it at our house. You can be a part of that. I agree with you. I am interested in, because we played that audio from Chris Phillips a moment ago, and Chris said this is the game on the calendar outside of Clemson that South Carolina fans had circled in red. This is the game outside of Clemson that is the game Gamecock fans want more than any other game. This is the game that Willie B is going to be loudest, is going to have the most sway for. And I don't know if that's correct or not. I think it is. I think it is. With that being said, I think for the fans, hell yeah, go there to hate on Juice Wells. Hell yeah, to go there and make that stadium loud, make that stadium sway. On the flip side, I agree with Lonzo. If I'm Shane Beamer, I don't want you even looking for Juice Wells. He's just another player. All right, he's just another guy. He's just another rebel that we got to turn away from the stadium. We got to send on home. If he crosses the middle, I want you to hit him just like you'd hit anybody else. But if your job as the free safety is a top high cover one, I don't want you shaded to his side of the field so he doesn't get a catch. Because if you shade to his side of the field to prevent him from getting a catch, the wide receiver on the back side of the play has more room to operate. Do you know that the other guy catching the ball can also be worth a first down, not just Juice Wells? Like, I get it. I get it. You might be a little upset, not that this guy transferred, but that this guy transferred and took advantage of you in the back half of the season until he left. But I can't have you doing anything different. I can't have you doing anything special. I can't have you going out there to prove a point against Juice if it comes at the expense of beating this football team. This football team, South Carolina, has an absolute opportunity to send a message to the rest of America that what you're seeing right now is real. This is who we are. This is the results you can expect from us, and we're on the way up. But if you sacrifice that against Ole Miss and you let them run you out of your own stadium, again, we've said this 10 times in the last year about South Carolina, all that momentum goes away. At some point, you've got to capitalize on it. And this feels like a damn good weekend to do that. You know what else it feels like a damn good time for? A sports flash.
Yeah, because it's like scheduled to right now. The season is over for the Atlanta Braves, who were swept out of the wild card round after a 5-4 defeat last night. Max Fried was yanked after just two innings, surrendering eight hits and all five runs through six outs. Michael Harris II had a two-run homer in the eighth to bring the Braves within one, but were unable to finish the job in the ninth. Atlanta finishes with an 89-73 record. In other Major League Baseball playoff games, the Detroit Tigers swept the Houston Astros 5-2. The Kansas City Royals knocked off the Baltimore Orioles 2-1, and the Milwaukee Brewers completed a comeback win over the Mets 5-3 to force the only deciding game 3 tonight. Tune in this Saturday at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Citadel right here on your home for Paladins football. It is the Fan Upstate.